Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening service here in Karatz. The announcements, I'll do some of the announcements from earlier in the day. Tomorrow evening, the Northern Presbytery meets at 7:30 in Ballymoney, and we'll be dealing with the finding from the visitation carried out in Clough Mills, and also arrangements need to be made for the vacancy in Ballylagan and also Drumbogue. So I've been asked to serve as interim moderator in Ballylagan, and having consulted with the session there and the former minister, my intention is to agree to do that. The session have put a lot of effort into ensuring that things that happen in Ballylagan will continue to happen without needing someone else to come along, and so it's what I'm being asked to do will be a matter of leading the chairing the session meetings and being there for communion times and arranging the men who will come to do the preaching, and then any other sort of emergencies or major things that that come up. So that's all to be decided tomorrow evening at Presbytery. Tuesday evening then is our midweek meeting, the third meeting in the Living Christianity series, and this week the subject is Christians and Work. The CY Games Night for Northern Presbytery congregations is on Saturday evening in Cullibackie from 7:30 till 9:30. Next Lord's Day, it's the final Sabbath school class with the present classes, and then the week after that is the new classes run for 2 weeks, and then there's a break. The services then, God willing, at 12 noon and 7:30, and the evening prayer meeting at 7:10. And then the new missionary prayer letter, now this would be for December, January, and February. This has just arrived, so these will be available next week. But if you want to take one early, they're on the table on the way out. So those are the announcements that I'll mention for tonight. Welcome all here for our evening worship service. We'll begin worship by joining together in prayer. So if you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious God in heaven, we look to you now in our time of evening worship, and we thank you that you alone are God, that there is no other God in heaven. There is no one else that it would be right for us to come together to worship as we come to worship you. And we pray, O Lord, that we will not trim you down to a size that suits us better, that we will not think of you less highly than we should. But we pray, Lord, that we would recognize that you're the one who is truly great. And we pray that we will see ourselves as the little creatures and the great sinners that we are. Help us to know, Lord, that it is not fitting for people like us as we are at present to be in your presence, but that we need to be cleansed and that we need to be made ready to be in your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you've provided for that. We thank you that there is good news in the scriptures, that there is a great salvation proclaimed there. And so we look to you now this evening. Help us as we gather in this place. We pray for others not able to be with us, and we pray for those who will be listening to this service later on at home. And Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to use the words that we read and the words that are heard and the things that we can meditate upon. We pray that they will be for our good and our benefit. We ask for the working of your Holy Spirit, that you will not leave us to our own thoughts and our own interpretations, but Lord, that you would convince us of what you mean by your word. Hear us now in these things, we pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read together from God's Word. If you'll turn, please, to the New Testament and to the book of Philippians. I want to read a few verses in Philippians chapter 1, then also in chapter 4, and then turning over to the next book, the book of Colossians, a few verses in Colossians chapter 3. The Pew Bible page for our first reading is 1042, Philippians chapter 1, and reading from verse 19 through to the end of the chapter. So let us hear this, the word of God. Philippians 1 and verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. And then chapter 4 at verse 4. Philippians 4 at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And then turning over a page to Colossians chapter 3 at verse 1. Colossians 3 at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so reads God's own true word. I saw somewhere online the other day that Jeremy Clarkson thinks about death every day. My intention was to go back and read that article, but when I went back, I couldn't find it. But Jeremy Clarkson thinks about death every day. I wonder how often you think about death. I wonder how often you think about heaven. I want to speak this evening on under a title that comes from a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, I think it is, longing for a better country. And in the scriptures, we're told how Abraham was longing for a better country, and it was a heavenly one. It wasn't here on earth. It was beyond this present earth. Longing for a better country. And I want to speak, first of all, about longing for heaven, not for death. Longing for heaven, not for death. There is a difference between longing for heaven and longing for death. The two are not the same. When Jeremy Clarkson says that he thinks about death every day, doesn't mean that he thinks about heaven every day. Sadly, we live in times where it's very common to hear about people who take their own lives. It may be teenagers. It may be young adults who, as a result of taking drugs, end up, their mind isn't right, and they do something foolish. Or it may be people who are under a huge amount of peer pressure, and rather than handle that pressure, they take their own lives. People who seek to get out of circumstances that they find to be overwhelming. Or it may be a middle-aged person, someone whose little kingdom has collapsed around them because of economic issues or health issues or whatever it may be. And all that they've lived for has crumbled around them. And they don't see anything left to live for. And they see death as a good option. Or it may be someone who has lost their health, someone who has a degenerative disease, and they take their own life before they reach the stage where they know they wouldn't be able to take their own life. And people in these situations are not longing for a better country. They're not desiring heaven. They're just desiring death. And the scriptures teach us that we should have a longing for a better country, that it should be heaven itself that we have a longing, a desire for. And those who are churchgoers, those who profess to be Christians, we need to be aware that there are some more innocent ways whereby when we look beyond this life, our desires may have nothing distinctively Christian about them. There are many churchgoers who are not Christians. I was reading an article yesterday by the journalist, former MP, Matthew Paris. He's an atheist, and he's a paid-up member of the Church of England. He loves the Church of England. He loves the architecture. He loves the things that go on, but he doesn't believe in God. And there are many churchgoers who aren't Christians. They love church things, but they don't love Christ. And God has not given them a new heart. And people like that, in some cases, even still speak of looking forward to heaven. And in their wishful thinking, that is not based upon any sound scriptural teaching, they have certain positive things in mind when they talk about looking forward to heaven. I think, generally speaking, there are three R's that people look forward to. First of all, there is rest. People talk about a person being at rest. There is a weariness that comes upon human flesh with advancing years. And people often talk of those who have lived a long life and who have died, and they say they're at rest now. And that's one of the common conceptions of what lies beyond death, that there's a rest for everyone. The Bible does not proclaim that teaching. Another R that people think of in connection with what is after life is relief. Some people face horrendous physical pain and suffering and anguish in this life. Some people have to face emotional trauma in this life. Some people have so much to endure. Some people have broken bodies. Others have broken spirits. And others have broken hearts. And death seems to offer some relief from all of that. There's rest. There's relief. And then the other thing people like to think of is reunions. The hope of reunion with others who have already died. And people of all sorts of religions talk of the hope of seeing loved ones again after death, that in the life to come, there will be these blessed reunions. And when in life, the people who have meant most to you are all gone, then it can be a comforting thought to look to potential reunions with those you really, really miss, those who made your life worth living. And all of these things people talk about when they talk around the subject of death. And all of this is not distinctively Christian. You can talk about these things and they're not distinctively Christian hopes. Many people talk about these things and they really wouldn't profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. And many people hold on to these hopes. They harbor these hopes and they have no right to them that is based in the scriptures, because the reality is that in life they have no time for the Lord. And for those who in life have no time for the Lord, there will be no rest, there will be no relief, and there will be no sweetness in any reunions among those who die outside of Christ. So when the Bible speaks about longing for a better country, it speaks about longing for heaven, not longing for death. And there is a difference. Well, I want to speak secondly then about a Christian longing for heaven. What can be said about this longing for a better country that is a distinctively Christian longing and not just some vaguely religious longing or not just some wishful thinking on people's part? There are two things that I would say about a Christian longing for heaven. First of all, it is a longing to be with Christ. The more a person grows in their faith, the greater desire they will have to be with the Lord Jesus himself. Here on earth, there may be times in our lives when we sense the reality of the Lord's presence with us. But in heaven, we will constantly be in his presence. We will be with him. And there'll be no room for doubt. And no one will ever have any doubt that the Lord is there with them and they are there with him. And a Christian longing for a better country is a longing to be with Christ. And we read the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1. And he writes, as a prisoner, not knowing if he is going to be delivered unto life or delivered unto death. And he says in verse 23, I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And Paul regarded the prospect of his death as meaning that he would be with Christ. And that was a big thing to him. And for him to die would be better by far, because if he died, he would be with Christ. And as Paul thinks of heaven, it's not rest that he's thinking of. It's not relief that he's thinking of. It's not reunions that he's thinking of. That's not what dominates his thinking. It is being with Christ. That's the big thing to him. So a Christian longing for a better country, it is a longing to be with Jesus Christ himself. The scriptures would also indicate that a Christian longing for heaven is a longing for holiness. As anyone matures in the Christian faith, they develop a deeper longing to be delivered from the sin that is in us, in every part of us. And when we consider heaven, it will be a holy heaven that we think of. We'll not just look forward to reunions, but we'll look forward to holy reunions. And those people that you will meet with in heaven, those reunions will be far beyond anything you could have in this life, because it will be two completely holy people reunited. Holy relationships with those believers who have gone ahead of us into glory. Here are some words of a godly missionary, American missionary called David Brainerd, written when he was only 24 years old. He says, my soul was exceedingly grieved for sin and prized and longed after holiness. It wounded my heart deeply, yet sweetly, to think how I had abused a kind God. I longed to be perfectly holy, that I might not grieve a gracious God, who will continue to love, notwithstanding his love is abused. There's a man with a longing for holiness. I wonder, do you know anything of that longing for holiness within your own soul? Do you have that desire to be totally delivered from all that is sinful within you? Or is it the things that are sinful within you? Are those the things that you really want to hold on to? Are those the things that make life worth living? Do you want to be rid of everything that tarnishes your service to the Lord? For the person whose following of Jesus Christ has involved a lot of hardship, a lot of pain, for them, the rest and the relief element of heaven will, of course, be a welcome prospect. Eternal relief from what may be present-day continuous agony. And yet, for the more mature such a believer, the more mature they become, the more they will value release from sinfulness, even above release from pain. I'll quote to you the words of an author that was very well known in the past, particularly among ladies, Johnny Erickson Tada, who was paralyzed as a result of a diving accident when she was a teenager. And someone with every reason to rejoice at the thought of having a new body when that body that she has doesn't do the things that she wants it to do. This is what she says. She says, more than I am looking forward to my new body, I am looking forward to a heart without sin. For me, that will be the best part of heaven. There's someone who's heavenly minded, someone with a heart for the holiness of heaven. And as we grow in the Christian faith, we will think more about heaven and what that is all about. And we will long for a pure heart. And we will long to see the Lord. And we will long to be with the Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So a Christian longing for heaven, it's a longing to be with Christ, and it is a longing for holiness. Well, then in the third place, I want to speak about growing in desire for heaven. Christian life is all about growth. God desires us to grow in all the different graces and all the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. How can we grow in terms of our longing for a better country? Is that just something that happens when you know you've not got long left in this world? Or can we have that growing desire for heaven, even if it may be the case that we have many years left in this world? None of us knows how long we have. But is it only those who know they're near to death who can grow in their desire for heaven? Well, here are the words, some more words from David Brainerd, aged about 24, written in 1742. He wasn't on his deathbed. He did die very young, but he wasn't on his deathbed when he wrote these words. He wrote, "Spent much time in prayer this morning and enjoyed much sweetness. Felt insatiable longings after God much of the day. I wondered how poor souls do to live that have no God. The world, with all its enjoyments, quite vanished. I see myself very helpless, but I have a blessed God to go to. I longed exceedingly to be dissolved and to be with Christ, to behold his glory. Oh, my weak, weary soul longs to arrive at my Father's house." And is it not the case when you hear words like that, you feel yourself to be a bit of a spiritual pygmy? And these kind of things reveal our lack of heavenly mindedness. Our thoughts are full of COVID-19 and protocols and all this kind of stuff. Is there any room for a thought of heaven? Is there any room in our thoughts for longing for a better country? What can we do to be more heavenly minded in this life? Well, let us first of all realize that it is a good thing to long for a better country. It is a good thing to desire heaven. It's not morbid to have a right desire for heaven. It's a strange thing for people who have no such hope. Seems strange to them, but it shouldn't seem strange to anyone who does have this great hope. And we read of Paul's desire in Philippians 1. His desire was to depart, be with Christ, which was better by far. He says similar things elsewhere, Romans 8, 22 and 23. He says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And there Paul writes about those in whom the Spirit of God is at work, experiencing these groanings for the coming change, change in our body and change in our life experience. In 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul describes our present existence as like living in a tent. But, he says, we can look forward to our eternal house. Verse 2, he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." And in verse 8, he says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." It is a good thing to have a desire for heaven. It is a good thing to have a longing for a better country. And it's not a good thing to have no desire for heaven. It's not a good thing to be perfectly content with this sinful world in which we live, where our Lord is dishonored day after day after day. Realize it's a good thing to have a desire for heaven. And then also, we can take time to think about heaven. Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul writes about the importance of what you think about. The importance of thinking about the things that are good to think about. He says, "Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And heaven is all of these things. And therefore, it is something that we need to meditate upon. Think about it. And Paul commands us in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, to do just this. He says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." We had our prayer time before our evening service, and I think it was Harold that was praying that in our service tonight, our thoughts would be lifted from earthly things to heavenly things. And that's exactly what we're taught about there in Colossians chapter 3. We're commanded to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And here is something that we need to do. And perhaps this is something that we just don't do at all. Maybe we never take time to think beyond this present life, but we're commanded in the Scriptures that we are to do this. We all get so immersed in the duties of life and in the entertainments of life that we forget that there is an eternal life to come. And the life that we're living, this is not the real thing. This is just the warm-up. It's not the warm-up that counts, it's the match that counts. That's the big thing. And we're just in the warm-up. And we need to think about the match. The warm-up is all about getting ready for the match. And the match is the eternal way of things. The writer Donald Whitney comments, he says, "Resolving to devote some time on a regular basis to reflect upon the coming world and the coming one would encourage, embolden, strengthen, invigorate, illumine, ravish, and de-stress us. And anyone who cannot find time to meditate on Jesus and heaven is either wasting time or busier than God intends. Do we really have better things to think about than thinking about heaven? Is this not just something where we fall short, where we're commanded to do something where we know that will be good for us, but we don't really do it? There is much room for progress in longing for a better country. We need to realize that it's good to desire heaven. We need to take time to think about heaven, and we also need to seek the purity of heaven. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, we're told, "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Those who have a genuine hope in Christ, that leads to seek the purity of heaven. It leads us to seek to purify ourselves, to get rid of all that we will certainly not be taking with us to heaven. The Sutherland family were with us for lunch today, and next month after school finishes up, they're hoping to make that move from Ballylagan to Newtownards. And there's some stuff that they're hoping that they'll not be taking with them from Ballylagan to Newtownards, stuff that has been in their attic from childhood days and so on, stuff that hasn't been looked at in the 8 years that they've been in Ballylagan. And they hope to not be taking that stuff with them. Well, there's stuff in our lives. We'll not be taking that stuff with us to heaven. And trusting in Christ should lead us to get rid of that stuff that we're not going to take with us. None of us ever knows how close we might now be to the end of our lives. We don't know if heaven is near at hand, and we don't know if we are near at hand to be shut out of heaven. But we do know that we are getting nearer. We all know that. And the nearer we get, the more our desire should grow for what will be our eternal home. And so let us take this to heart. God wants us to be those who are longing for a better country. God believes that what he has in store for his saved people is far better than what we have here and now. And we need to embrace the beliefs of God. His thoughts need to become our thoughts. So let us seek to make progress in this thing. Let us seek to think more about heaven, to set our hearts on the things that are above, because these are the things that last, and these are the things that we'll talk about and delight in forever and ever. Longing for a better country. This is good. Amen. We come to God now in prayer. And so if you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord in heaven, we praise you for the God that you are, and we praise you for your surroundings. We praise you that there is a place of perfection, that there's a place entirely free from sin, and where sin cannot enter in. And Lord, we praise you that that is the reality. We find that hard even to imagine, because sin is everywhere in our world. Sin is everywhere in our hearts. We can't think a pure thought. Everything is stained by selfishness. Everything is tarnished by our deep-seated sin. And, O Lord, we confess our sin, that we don't long for the better country in the way that we should long for it. Lord, all that is truly good is what you have in store for your people. And yet we think so little about that, and we think so much about the things that aren't going to last, and we know they're not going to last. Forgive us for our foolishness, and help us, O Lord, to resolve in our hearts that we will strive to have that greater longing for that everlasting better country, that heavenly country. We give thanks, O Lord, that you're the God who rules in all the nations of the earth, and you have your different ways in different nations. And we see how in some lands there's every opportunity to hear the gospel, and in others there's very few opportunities. We pray, Lord, for our missionaries in Spain. We pray for that needy country where there are few believers, and people would have to often go a long way before they could hear the gospel proclaimed. We pray for the Barakal family outside Malaga. Pray for them in the town where they live and minister. And we pray for them in these days when there are visitors coming out to them from the home church here. We pray for Robert Robb and David and Yuri Fleming as they go on Friday to Spain. We pray for a good journey. We pray that as they meet with the Barakals, that they will be able to encourage them in their work. We pray that they'll be able to give them good advice for the future. We pray that as they go to the church in Seville, where Isaac has the possibility of pastoring, that they'll be able to meet with those folk and get a very clear idea of how they would envisage things working out. And Lord, we pray that they will see any issues that need to be clarified, that you would lead them in their thinking, and we pray that they'll be able to come back with a very clear idea as to whether this would be a good thing that should be pursued, or if it is something that is fraught with pitfalls. We pray, Lord, for your insight and your leading in the assessment of that matter over the next wee while. We pray, Lord, for the man who was here this morning leading our worship service, for David Sutherland. Pray for him, having finished his ministry in Ballylagan, and as he looks forward to a new ministry in Newtownards. We pray for your guarding and keeping of him, and we pray, Lord, for his family, that you'll help them as they finish up in the different things that they're in at present, and as they anticipate in the new year, children being in different schools in a new town and heading to a different church and everything changing for them. And Lord, we pray that you will provide for them. This is something that you have brought about, and we thank you for the comfort there is in knowing that although we can't think of all that will involve, that you can. And Lord, we pray that they may see your advanced planning and thinking at every turn. We pray, Lord, for the meeting tomorrow night of the Northern Presbytery. We pray for wisdom in the assessment of the church in Clough Mills. We pray for the review that's been done there, and that the report that's drawn up and the recommendations that are included in that will be helpful for the advance of the work there in Clough Mills. We give thanks for Joel Lockridge's ministry there. We thank you, Lord, for the support of the elders and the deacons and the congregation. And we praise you, Lord, for the growing church that there is there in the village of Clough Mills. We pray also for the vacant congregation of Drumbolg, and as they wait to hear what arrangement will be put in place for them with needing a new interim moderator, we pray, Lord, for wisdom in that, and also for the Ballylagan situation. We give thanks, Lord, for the work that goes on among young folk. We pray for our church camps, and we pray for all the thoughts at present in regard to what will be possible with camp reunion events. Lord, we do pray that there will be camp reunions that can be held. We pray that those will be of great benefit to the young folk who would attend. And Lord, we look to you for your mercy and for your provision and for wisdom and decisions to be made around those issues. We pray for the work of Scripture Union in schools and for Christian unions in universities and colleges. And Lord, we pray that you will do a good work there, that there will be many who will be influenced for good by the things that they hear at school or at college. And we pray, Lord, that there'll be many who will come to faith in Christ and whose lives will be turned around. And people who will discover what the Christian faith is all about in the first place. We pray for Eve Lowry in her work with Scripture Union, and we pray that she will be a blessing to many, and that she will find her work to be beneficial to herself. And we pray for her and for others who serve in the same kind of way that she is serving. We give thanks for Eve as someone who was part of our CY here in Karatz for many years. And we pray, Lord, that she will be able to pass on to many young folk the good things that she has picked up here and there in many different settings over the years. And we pray for others who are trying to do the same kind of thing, who know that they have received things that are very special and want others to share in those riches. Lord, we pray that you would give the opportunities and give the words and that you would provide in these things. We pray, Lord, that you will raise up a generation that will be heavenly minded, that will not be content with this present world and what it has to offer, but whose hearts will be set on higher things and more lasting things. Lord, forgive us for all our shortcomings in these matters. Work among us in these times. Direct us, O Lord, in the things we read in the Scriptures. And we pray that you will build and strengthen your church in all places and in all nations of the earth. Lord, hear our prayers now. And we pray that you will help us to remember these things and to seek, O Lord, to cultivate that longing for a better country. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we sing from part of Psalm 17 as our praise. The tune we use is St. Cyril 140. Psalm 17, and we sing the stanzas 6 to 8, and then also 11 through to 13. And I read the last three stanzas of the psalm here, 11 to 13. Save me by your own hand, O Lord, from worldly men of earth, who only in this present life have anything of worth. You fill them with the wealth you give. With sons they're satisfied. They'll leave it all behind for them, their young ones, to provide. But as for me, in righteousness, I your own face will see. And with your likeness, when I wake, I satisfied will be. And within these closing verses, there's the contrast between the worldly men of earth, and it's only in this present life that they have anything of worth. They have no future. Their treasure is on earth and not in heaven. But the psalmist says that's not the way he sees things. But his great hope and confidence is that he will see the face of God and that he will be satisfied with the likeness of God. And this is a longing for being in the presence of the Lord himself. This is a longing for a better country. Psalm 17, we sing 6 to 8 and then 11 to 13, and the tune is St. Cyril 140. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.